Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host Peter, joined by only Tom, as Donny is on holiday for a few days with the family. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. In typical Donny fashion, he always seems to post a good score week and he's not here to talk about it, so no doubt he'll come on next week and maybe not be asked for the score week and he'll have to talk about his score from this week to kind of hold himself back up. But anyway, I digress. Let's get the housekeeping done first. AFS Royal Rumble has 1 week left. Tom has been knocked off the top spot. 1 week left. I think it's going to take something special now to beat Scott Prem Fantasy. He's got a decent lead. But with the Glasgow Derby on the horizon, there could be big scores, maybe captains and punts elsewhere, so we don't know what happens. Also, I'm here. The Half Hour Fantasy Cup draw is still open. That will be open for like a few weeks. It's going to close, I think, before the split. We won't have people to go before the split, so that seems to be all right. So if you're interested, you can DM me at Fantasy Half, or I will retweet the tweet, basically, to say join the cup, and I'll add you. Don't feel it's too late. Right up until the start of the split, I think you can join in. A few people that normally take part in the cup haven't tweeted you yet or DM, so I don't know if they haven't seen it, or maybe think they're too late. You're not. Join in. Cup that ends the competition, so you would win it as you could possibly win it as the season comes to a close. What more bragging rights do you need than that? Exactly. Right, so we'll go to our own league first, the top three. There is one bit of change, and Donny's not to start with third is E6 Hammers, 52 points, 203 overall. Donny up to second with 82 points, so 203-1, and Melvin still sitting top. We're 50 points this week, 2045. So that's that early setup. So we will go to our own scores this week. And I will go first. It is. So first of all, I took a minus four. We'll be Tom out for FPL meetup. The news came in, so we're all sitting kind of. Was it me, you, the general, or discussing what we're going to quickly do transfer wise?
It was a bit slapdash.
With a 15-minute window, tried something different, didn't pay off. So that's what it is. So anyway, Clark in goals, minus three, because he conceded the penalty and the goals he conceded. So I think I'll be shifting one very, very shortly. Strain for 6 points, Captain Tav, reliable, 10. Fish for two, Kingsley off the bench for a big fat zero. Fitzwater, one. My first transfer in was Clarkson, so three. So that was for a non-player player anyway, so it wouldn't matter. That's 3 points up. Jota, 14. Cantwell, 8. Morelos was a player in, vice-captain, 2. And we were both thinking we could have paid for that because Furuhashi, but he blanked as well, so 2. Nothing on the bench. That takes me down to 48th in the world, so not a good game week. Time to reset that again. So what was your score and rank this week, Tom?
So I dropped from 4th place to 21st. I took a minus 4. And I got 36 points, so 32 overall. Had George in goals for 1, Egan Riley for 3, Captain Tav 10, Kingsley and Devlin got me nothing. Kelly in midfield got me 1, Ginelli 2, and Jota 14. Vice-captain Sakala was 1, Furuhashi 2, and Duke got me 2 as well. I got rid of Cholak and Hitati for Ginelli and the Duke. never paid off, unfortunately.
We'll talk more about these kind of decisions and players later on, because I think it's becoming quite apparent. Players you can rely on, you can't rely on, but we'll do it to get the fixtures. Anyway, well, through results, we've got first of all, with St Mirren 3, Livingston 0, St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 1, Rangers 2, Dundee 0, Kilmarnock 2, Hearts 1, Hibs 1, Motherwell 3, and the Sunday game is Ross County 0, Celtic 2. So over to you, Tom.
Yep, so first game we've got here is Hibs 1, Motherwell 3. For Hibs, it was Nisbet that scored with an assist from Chris Cadden. For Motherwell, it was Goss that got the first goal. A Van Veen penalty after that, which was won by Spittle. And Van Veen also got the third goal as well. Van Veen's had a bit of a resurgence. We've kind of talked about him the past couple of pods, thinking that he's maybe going to start to kick into form a bit. He was starting to show signs of form again. In this particular game, he managed 7 shots, 3 of which were on target. His last 3 returns have been 16, 7 and 16. So if you've hopped on Van Veen, you're definitely sitting pretty. Up next, they do have 2 home fixtures against Livingston and Dundee United. So you would imagine there's going to be some goals there as well. But then they do face Celtic before the split. But even then, you could get Van Veen in. He's on penalties. You could always stick him on the bench for that game week. And if there's a strange penalty decision, which there has been, he'll be the man to score it. Nisbet started for Hibs as well. He's coming back into the starting 11. He got the consolation goal. Hibs have dropped in form. And I do think there's better striker options out there. I think you're going to be hard pushed to fit Nisbet in there. So maybe not quite the time for Nisbet just yet. A nice differential option could be Goss. His last 6 games, he's scored 6-6-3-3-1-9, and he's very cheap at 3.4 million. He did have a decent run of form with Motherwell's new manager bounce, but at 3.9 million, Spittle still is outscoring him over the same number of game weeks. Spittle's scored 5, 11, 2, 8, 2 and 5. So I think you're probably better off looking for a differential out with Motherwell. I think Spittle's probably the second man to have there. But in terms of Hibs, I think I'm probably a bit of an avoid just now. You've got a couple of Hibs players. Peter, what are you thinking?
Yeah, well, I think Nisbet played golf because Ewan was suspended, so I don't know if Ewan will come back in. So we were Nisbet is probably, if all fit and being well, Hibs probably the first choice striker. But they did, their upturned form kind of worked with Ewan playing well as well through the middle, so I don't know if that's something I need to watch. I'm quite cold in Hibs now, but I've got bigger fish to fry with the team now, so fish will just need to be the cheap defender trick right now as it stands. Motherwell, I noticed Spittle went off before the 60 minute mark. Was that injury related, do we know, or just tactical, or have we heard anything?
Oh, I'm not sure.
So I did think Van Veen seems to be a no-brainer. We've got a question later about top 6 and bottom 6, and I don't think Motherwell's going to make top 6. I think it would take them to win all their games, and it would take Livingston and Hibs both not to get anything for it to happen, and I don't see that happening. Maybe I could be proved wrong and they could both get 0 points in 3 games. So if Motherwell finish bottom 6, I think Van Veen against the lesser defenders in the league would probably be a set for the rest of the season. And he potentially might transfer in this week, but we'll get to that when we get to the transfer section. Spittle is my midfielder of choice, Motherwell. I quite fancy Motherwell triple up in the after the split if they do finish bottom six, because I think they're probably the strongest of the bottom 6 teams. Caterwell's got them playing very well, so I don't see a reason why they won't finish the season with them continuing. So it's something to watch for. You mentioned, obviously, they played Celtic in the last game for the split, but you can potentially just have 1-2 players and then transfer away after the split because he won't play any of the top 6 as it stands. Goss, I did like as well. A few people in the top 5 or 6 had Goss and Spittle midfield, so that's a good shout. Who's went that way? I can go either way, Goss or Spittle. I prefer Spittle just by eye test myself, but I need to find out if that was injury related when he went off or not. If it's not, then it was Spittle I'd be particularly in. But again, it's bigger fish to fry before I have to kind of think about the Spittle situation. And Hibs, it's just going to have to wait one more week and see. Who have they got this week, Hibs?
Hibs have got...
They need to be for home, so there you go. If they can't get out of this game, that's when the red flags got, and maybe just have to go off two and maybe one at a time. But that's me for that game.
Just try to find if anything's happening with
Spittle.
I think injured. There's a wee medical Red Cross on the SofaScore website, so it looks like he's came off as part of an injury.
We'll just watch for the wrestlers near the time. And I do feel that the Goss is an easy sideways step. If you want another Roman fielder, I think Goss, as you say, is showing a bit of form, so I don't even go wrong there.
Yep. Our next fixture then, we've got Kilmarnock 2, Hearts 1. Van Veen's had a resurgence, and another favourite from previous game weeks is Danny Armstrong at Kilmarnock. He scored a penalty for Kilmarnock, which was won by Vassal, and he also assisted the second goal, which was scored by previous Hibs striker, which is on loan, Deutsch. For Hearts, it was Shankland that got the goal. Kilmarnock did get a red card later on in the game. It was Rory McKenzie, but that seemed to have little impact on the game. Shankland topped for shots on target with three. He was playing down the middle in this game rather than Ginelli, so Shankland may have more opportunity for goals going forward. Hearts, we mentioned last time, they seem to be throwing third place away. I think there's only a point between Hearts and Aberdeen now.
Yeah, that's right.
I think they can hang on. Obviously, on the run-up to the split, Aberdeen have Rangers, so you'd expect Aberdeen to drop points at least in one game over the next three. But then, obviously, it's going to get tougher after the split. So these are the games where Hearts need to kind of get points on the board. So really looking to see some improvement in Hearts. In terms of Kilmarnock, the Danny Armstrong revival was good. Is it just a one-off? It's difficult to say. I probably wouldn't be rushing towards Kilmarnock players anyway. They've got Aberdeen, Celtic, and then St Mirren next. So that's not the easiest run towards the split. He's perhaps someone to maybe be considered post-split if there's still some signs of form there. Other than him, I'm not really looking at any other Kilmarnock assets. I think Ash Taylor's had his moment, and I won't be rushing towards Kilmarnock defence either. What's your thoughts on this one, Peter?
Hearts first. They seem to be free fall form-wise. I'm on the Hearts double defence, which it sounded good in paper to start. Kingsley seemed to be better defender, but I think over the next couple of weeks, they'll be getting one of the two as well. I read a stat, I believe, Kilmarnock's 91% of their points came at home this season. So
right.
If they get the fixtures going for them, and they get three homes and two aways in the bottom six, then I'd maybe be inclined to bring Armstrong in for that. Just as a kind of talisman midfielder. But like you say, Tommy's only one I'm interested in. There's nobody else there who seems better than what we've got. I would be just staying away defensive-wise. I think Kilmarnock will survive this league this year. I think McInnes and Scott got enough about it to stay up. So just basically this. My assumption would be now that I would get clear of Hearts. I think they're all going to get worse. They're going to struggle in the top six against teams who are the better calibre, which I believe the Hearts fans now are a bit peed off with Nielsen. There's no rumblings about getting him out the door and stuff like this. So they've got
some graffiti outside. So
as high as you can get. So I had to show you football's a fickle game. And with Kilmarnock again, it's taking punts for the bottom six. Armstrong's the obvious one. There's nobody else really stands out.
Nope. Next game then, we've got Rangers 2, Dundee United 0. It was a brace for Tillman. Assists came from Cantwell and Ryan Kent. The clean sheet remained intact for Rangers. Behich, the Dundee United defender, did hit the woodwork. But clean sheet for Barisic, who was back. Morelos started this game. I did mention last pod, I thought Beale's going to be impressed with those pictures of him in the gym. Cholak's not been in great form. He's kind of a bit cold just now. So I don't know. I think he felt it was Morelos' time to shine. There is a counter-argument. You could argue that Rangers don't really have... I mean, the chance of them catching Celtic now is pretty slim, so maybe he's just resting players in preparation for the... try to get some points against Celtic and regain a little bit of pride there. That's a possibility. Sakala was benched too. I was surprised at that one, considering he's been in a bit better form than Čolak has. Again, you could suggest he's maybe being rested. I'll be looking at, there's no rush to get Rangers players in just now anyway. I think you're going to get an idea. You can get an idea of what the strongest lineup is going to be based on the team that they put out against Celtic, obviously barring any injuries. So those would be the players that you would target post next week. In terms of Dundee United, I don't think there's any options to consider just now. The whipping boys at the minute. We have mentioned Bech in the past, potential to get clean sheets and attacking returns. He did hit the woodwork here. But maybe one to consider post-split. Anything to add on that one, Peter?
Dundee United's a hard no for me. I think they're down. I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be rough to get them points. And they're now, I think, 8 points adrift. Is that right? 4-4 between the two teams. So they're going to have to. I just don't see them come back for that. Rangers' issue now is the striker situation. You mentioned Čolak Morelos. I think the reason, my opinion is. I think he's going to play Morelos against Celtic. He's a more a nuisance to a striker, if that makes sense, whereas Colt doesn't offer a kind of play. So I think Morelos will play next week. So I'm kind of... But there's too much up debate who's going to play week in, week out. So I don't know if they're going to go there. I think we asked Donny last week, and Donny did call it, that Sakala would be at most at risk if he's going to play Catmull Tillman together. They did play together. They worked well together and they scored in a kind of convincing 2-0 victory. So I'm probably moving towards that as Rangers three, I think, post this Celtic game would be Tavernier, Cantwell and Tillman as a three, I think. You can go defensive if you wanted to. I think that's where I'm going to go. I think Sakala probably finds game time now managed. And I'm not willing to take the roulette with striker up top, especially with so much money in Morelos, for example. I mean, if you jump on him and then he doesn't play, you've got 7 point odd money stuck in there. But I think you can go elsewhere with your Duke. Van Veen, we mentioned, you might take a punt in this, but Shankland, something like that. This, again, you mentioned, right, you'll get a good idea of who he thinks his first delivering struggle will be this Saturday. So from then on, go, right, okay. Plus, also, Golson made a comment pre-match, the Rangers players love to talk before derbies. He said, Beale set them a challenge that let's win the league since I got here. That's imagining the cup they've got. That's a wee dig for you, Donny. So for that to happen, they're going to obviously play their strongest team for the end of the season. I believe that would be what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them set for next season. So I don't think he'll start resting or rotating, but I think he'll play his full strength team from now to the end. Maybe bring one or two changes. So Saturday will be interesting who they play, like I said. And from there, I'm going to make my transfers based on that team.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agreed. Our next game, St Johnstone 0, Aberdeen 1. Johnston's seen a Considine red card after 6 minutes, at which point I was rubbing my hands, hoping that Duke was going to get a haul. Unfortunately, Aberdeen only came away with the single goal, and it was a Remy Matthews OG, so never mind. St Johnston dominated chances, worryingly. They had 6 shots on target to Aberdeen's 3, which was... slightly concerning. We mentioned that we thought Aberdeen defence could be a good option going forward, and I mean they did get the clean sheet in the end, so perhaps that's testament to the resilience there. So well done to anyone that punted on Pollock or any of the other Aberdeen defenders. They came away with a clean sheet. St Johnston, they do have a favourable run towards the split. They've got Ross County at home, Livingston away, and then Hibs at home. So there could be some options there. And we have mentioned in previous pods that we're kind of getting to the point where you kind of have to be a little bit punty. And Liam Gordon could be a decent option. He had 3 shots on target in this game, which is decent for a SPL game and decent for a defender as well. There is potential there for clean sheets. Ross County and Livingston aren't really showing too much going forward. And then there's also...
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So the potential for attacking returns, I would emphasize it is a punt though, so don't get too excited there. Peter, what's your thoughts on this one?
Hey, St. Johnson is an old call for me as well. I just think, if it wasn't for that kind of 4-point gap, I'd more think they'd be a chance to go down. So I think they'll probably survive just as default. They'll pick up a point here or there. Nothing really about them. So I'm not interested. There's better options. But for Aberdeen, 1-0. That was one of the games Aberdeen was lost. No problem start of the season. So maybe it shows you the mentality shift under Robson that they're grinding out a game where they probably didn't deserve to win. And they've won 1-0. And the fixtures look pretty decent, am I right? Apart from the Rangers game, who's their next two? It is... Slight ticker up, but obviously reloads all the time right to the start.
Kilmarnock and Ross County next. So Kilmarnock at home this weekend, Ross County away, and then Rangers at home.
See, that's
a good two... form against Rangers at home as well, so...
That's a good two fixtures before they go. Kilmarnock at home and Ross County away. I think I find quite favourite for them. And then Rangers away game, you've got to accept Rangers as the favourites regardless, and then just maybe take your bench trick player for there almost. But I like Clarkson, I brought him in this week. I like Duke, and I probably want to go back on Aberdeen defender at some point as well. Maybe Cruz back in goals and get rid of Clark. It could be an easy downgrade, but probably an upgrade because he's potential. But yep, Aberdeen's a form team. St. Johnson, not for me.
Yeah. Remember though, Aberdeen aren't going to play Rangers, and then they're going to be top half, so they'll play Celtic and Rangers again before the end of the season.
So I know. I've got Clark, so who would I rather have? I've got Clark and Kingsley. Do I want to keep a Hearts defensive double up or an Aberdeen one instead? I think I've got more chance of eggs in separate baskets rather than one basket.
Our next fixture then, we've got St. Mirren 3, Livingston 0. O'Hara scored 2 penalties and Tony Watt also scored with an assist from Curtis Main. O'Hara has been the only St. Mirren attacking option for a long while now. Younger obviously disappeared a while back and the strikers haven't really been doing much. And it's really purely because he's on penalties and those that got him and stuck with him were rewarded in this game with the 2 penalties. I think he's probably a hold for now if you have him. I wouldn't be rushing towards getting him now. Towards the split, St. Mirren have got Hearts this game week, then Rangers, and then Kilmarnock. So a tricky run. But I would hold him just now. You can always stick him on the bench for the bench trick if that's the way you're playing the game. For Livingston, they've been quite poor recently. They've got Motherwell next, who's in decent form. So I'm not expecting a clean sheet from the Livingston there. The two Kellys have been out. The midfield, I think, was subbed on he was subbed on for Livingston. I think maybe the only hold just now for Livingston is maybe Devlin because of his potential for returns both ends of the pitch. Not too... hopeful for clean sheets, but he does have assists and goals in him, so he's perhaps a hold just now because Livingston do have quite a favourable run on paper. Obviously, Motherwell in good form. St. Johnstone after that, and then Dundee United. So, on paper, a good run. So, I think Devlin's a hold. What are you thinking of this one, Peter?
Well, everything like a box of frogs. You don't know what we do every week to week. So, I've been off them. I think you're right. Devlin's the one, if you had to be told, keep him. Same with St. Mirren. I wouldn't be rushing to bring these players in because they're going to be bringing players in and then they're playing top six opposition in a couple of weeks' time. If you've got O'Hara, you can't get rid of him now. He's a penalty taker, probably the highest scoring player from St. Mirren going forward. And Strain's, I think most people get Strain at the back as a kind of the bench or the fifth choice defender. And I think you can't go wrong with him either. You just got to keep them around until what was it after the split. Again, St. Mirren could get a split where they get three home games and two away games, and that could look favourable for them as well. You would be like, right, okay, keep the strain. It depends how it works out. That's all things, it's all could be variables until we find out exactly what the split is. But I'm more hot on St. Mirren. They're cooler on Livingston, but I'm not really fussed in bringing any of their players in. Just if you've got them, hold them. Unless you've got no fires to put out and you might go elsewhere, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. And then our final fixture of the Sunday game was Ross County 0. Celtic 2. Yota scored a penalty and the second goal was Burnaby with a Yota assist. Everyone has Yota, so nothing exciting here. Moy and Hitati were out as anticipated, but it was Iwata that started. I don't think anyone really predicted that one, but not really much to say there. I don't think he's going to be a fantasy asset going forward. It was the striker O that got the most shots on target with three, despite only coming on at the 74th minute. And Kyogo's going through a bit of a barren spell just now. He was missing some sitters in that game. So I think that's why we kind of thought about not vice-captaining him. Mm-hmm. We knew Celtic were going to have a few key players out, and his form hasn't been the best either. The Celtic clean sheet was safe. I don't think there's too many risky moments. So it was a victory for those that chose going for the defender rather than Moy for the third Celtic spot, but difficult one because obviously Moy wasn't on the pitch. In terms of Ross County, I think they're just a complete avoid just now. I don't think there's really much point in diving too deeply into their starting 11. What's your thoughts on the game, Peter? Do you enjoy this one?
I enjoyed the game. No, it was brutally watched, especially with a hangover after Saturday. What I would say was Ross County. I've sacrificed this twice in this podcast. Every time I've watched Ross County play Celtic, watch a full 90 minutes, I think to myself, how can this team who are so organised and so tactically astute under their manager be in the position they're in? And I know what's going to happen. They're going to play next week and get beat 2 or 3-0. You're going to go, well, how would you play so well last week? I think that's this Scottish football in a nutshell. Celtic, obviously, we survived the Kyogo vice-captain, and I think we did discuss last week with Donny that I didn't fancy to be a drop in a football close game if there's players missing, so I think that was kind of vindicated. Nobody really, you said Jota, and he's got him, so didn't really move rank. I don't imagine many people had Burnaby, so I wasn't going to move rank either unless Tate can get a crazy point, so I think he's a role in the next fight. I don't think it really changed much people's rank, I can see where it is. I'm just getting to go what, next week onwards.
Yep, you're purely reliant on the vice captaincy, I think, for Celtic. Whether you've got Kyogo or even Yota, I suppose.
Or defender.
As your vice. Yeah, for those clean sheet points. Just to round off then, we've got our top 10 for this week. No surprises, it was Tillman that was number one with 18 points, Van Veen with 16, Yota with 14, and Danny Armstrong with 14 as well. O'Hara with his two penalties, 12 points. Angus McDonald, the Aberdeen defender, got 11 points. Roos, the Aberdeen goalkeeper, got 11 points. Tony Watt at St Mirren got 10. Ryan Kent, 9. And Doidge got 9 as well. So this week there was one goalkeeper, Roos, which is a bit unusual for the season. Defenders only one. Which was Angus McDonald at Aberdeen. 5 midfielders and 3 forwards. Any surprises in there?
No, but there's a lot of names that I'm imagining people have got all in their teams, going to be some high scores. I'm not really checking. Yeah. Donny's score was quite high, so there's a few guys there who've probably kept the players and done really well this week and improved their rank.
Definitely, yeah. Particularly the top 5 of Tillman, Van Veen, Yota, Danny Armstrong and O'Hara. they've all got form at some point in the season. So if you've kept, then you would have had a very good game week this week.
Right, move on to questions, but it's questions, one come in, and it's not really, well, suppose it's related.
I think there's two questions.
I've only got one here.
There was Kevil Fish.
Let me check.
And then there was one regarding an 8-point lead in a mini-league.
Oh, right, I just came up with my thing. Fair enough, right. Start with Kevil Fish then. Kevil Fish, 89. With three games to go before the split, which team do you think will finish in the bottom six? None, Hibs or Livy? So he's kind of thinking, well, I'm thinking he thinks Motherwell's not going to make it in the top six. So what's your thoughts, Tom? Who's going to drop into the bottom six out of the three teams?
Well, I had to write this one out. I gave it a lot of consideration. So St Mirren are on 41 points, Hibs are on 40, and Livingston are on 39. So there's only a couple of points separating them. St Mirren have Hearts, Rangers and Kilmarnock. So I know they've had some decent form, and Hearts are poor, but I've put them down as a loss for Hearts, a loss for Rangers and a win for Kilmarnock, which gives them 3 points and a total of 44. For him, they've got Dundee United, Hearts and St Johnstone. I've given them a win for Dundee United and a win against St Johnstone, despite their poor form. And for Hearts, I've got them down as a loss, because I think they've lost the last few derbies against Hearts. So that gives them 6 points and a total of 46. Livingston, I've put them down as a loss for Motherwell, because Motherwell are pretty good form. A draw with St Johnstone and a draw for Dundee United, which gives them a total of 41. So that will see Hibs and St Mirren in the top six and Livingston in the bottom half.
Without doing all your fancy homework, I agree with you. Livingston's team, I'll just miss out. I think I did look at the fixture, but I think Hibs will just have enough to scrape into the top six. And I'd really no issues at Mirren. Mirren really lost three games of trot, so I knew St Mirren would be enough to stay there. So that's the way I think the bottom six is going to go. And in the points you opt out there, Motherwell wouldn't be able to catch the two in the fifth or sixth place. So that's the way it's going to follow. I think that's the way I want it to kind of land as well, I think. So you can start to build towards your team. Okay, next question is from John Cameron. It says Cammy37. Best tips for holding an 8-point lead with 8 games to go. First time in front, but chance lining up behind. So I believe Cammy must be top of the Mega League. Can you have your wink face after it? So he's got 8-point lead then, Tom. If you were top of the league, what would be your top tips for staying there?
Let's have a wee look.
He's not top of that league.
I think he's top of the mini league. I think that's what he's getting at.
Okay.
So he said challengers, so I'm presuming that there's more than one.
Check their teams weekly, see what they've got and who their credentials are.
I would say don't get too clever. I would keep with the main players. Don't be getting rid of Tav and Kyogo and stuff like that. Try to expand your lead. I would stick with the main players. And obviously, he's doing well to be top of his mini leagues. So just stick with what he's doing. If his stats or eye test or whatever, or just going on form, just keep doing what you're doing. I think if it gets towards the end of the season, a bit too early just now, but if it gets towards the end of the season and it's a two-horse race, then you can just be a bit cheeky and start bringing in the players that the guy behind you is bringing in. to try and block any advances. So that's obviously you're going to be a game week behind, but in doing so, you're just going to have to hope you get lucky and just kind of block them out of any potential hauls from players that you don't have. Obviously, it depends on the players that they're getting in. If you think they've got no hope, then you don't have to copy transfer them. Anything to add there?
I just think play it simple. Just do what you've been doing. You're sitting top for the reason. You've also worked for you. I'd be sticking with this most sensible captain, sticking with the most sensible vice captain. It's more than likely they're going to try to change vice captain and captain to try to catch on an odd game to try to catch you. So play it simple and just do what you've been doing.
Yep.
Okay. So we'll go to the fixtures for upcoming game week, Tom. And that is... So Saturday is a game week 30. So we've only got one team's early kickoff news, and it's the Derby, so Celtic Rangers. So you're going to have to go away with the rest of your team we expect after that. St John's from Ross County, Motherwell Livingston, Hearts at Mirren, Aberdeen Kilmarnock, in Dundee Hibs. That's the six games. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, what is your captain, vice-captain and transfer plans for the coming week?
So I'll be keeping an eye out for the Rangers lineup. And if Sakala's benched, then I'll probably switch him out for Van Veen. I think I'm probably vice-captain Van Veen. And I'm not too sure about the captaincy. Current feelings, maybe go with Duke. Not too sure, though.
Are you avoiding that game altogether now?
Celtic and Rangers?
Yep.
Yeah, I think avoid.
Okay. Right, so...
this week's the week to get creative and try and gain some ground, I think.
I would probably... I'm not captain in Tav. I'm not bold enough to... I've slightly been benching Tav, but I'm not bold enough for that. I think I'll keep him in case an odd Rangers penalty. We can't really see that as much, but we've quit a few penalties last couple of weeks, so that's starting to catch up. So I'll not go down the Rangers penalty route. But I think I will go to Morelos this week for Van Veen. I think that's the most sensible option. Van Veen, bring him in down, he'll stay the rest of the season. Vice-captain. And I don't always see Kyogo in this situation, but as you mentioned, he's been quite patchy form. And I don't know if it's going to be that open a game that it's going to be like a 2-each or a 3-2 or a 4-2 or a 3-1 or whatever it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. It's open a lot of... Celtic fan think it's going to be anyway. I think it'll be a tight game. I think Beale will probably learn his lessons tactically and it'll probably be a bit tighter. Probably don't fancy a clean sheet for either teams either. But I think it'll be a goal scored. So, I don't know. Vice-captain probably Van Veen for bringing him in. And I've got a cheeky wee punt, maybe Jota captain.
Right.
Maybe just do Jota captain. But then I don't know. I'll wait to see the time, see team sheets and how Rangers line up as well. Celtic line up and then I'll make a call for there. That's it. As quick as there's only two to do it, Tom.
Yeah.
FPL chat, how are you getting on with your double game week? Are you off the top of your head and how many points you've got?
I can't remember how many points, but I've managed to get a green arrow from about 250k to about 170k.
So you went above me then?
Yeah. So
that's the bench boost.
I've got the bench boost. So I think my whole starting 11 still to play again. And then I've got Rhea and Henry on the bench still to play again as well. And I got the points for Kane last night. A bit underwhelming, but
they'll
count exactly. Eh?
Yeah, well, I started the game week 185. I'm down to 214. So that's a 30k drop, which I expected. Because I didn't use a bench boost. So if I can stay around about that rank, I've got 11 players still to play, potentially 12. Ferguson didn't make a squad for Brighton, I'll get Odegaard points. So if I can stay around about that rank, I would take that as an acceptable loss. Because I'm going to have this chip still to use in 33 and 34. But time will tell if that actually was the best decision I'd like to make. But as we talked about, I couldn't really risk the bench boost this week because I had two players who weren't playing and they walked out who weren't playing. Ward and Haaland, so it'd been a wasted chip. Okay, so that is us, Tom. Where can people find you for a wrap up?
I am at FFS_scout.
Yep, and I'm at the Fantasy Half. So next week I'm on holiday, but I will be podcasting live from the caravan. So freeze will be back. As long as the net holds up, we'll be fine. We'll get another podcast out. And hopefully, Donnie's streak of not coming on the podcast is saving us.
Bye-bye.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.